Our second lesson this morning comes from Psalm 85 from the Old Testament. Hear the word of the Lord. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray for our words, those which we speak, and those which remain in our hearts. May our words be true and faithful to your word, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. A few years ago, I wrote a script for a Christmas pageant. In it, each of the main characters in the Christmas story wrote journal entries giving insight into their thoughts about the happenings around the birth of Jesus. Dear diary, it's me, Mary. Listen to this craziness. Last night, an angel came to me in a dream. Dear diary, my fiancé, Mary, told me the craziest thing today. You get the idea. My favorite character was the head shepherd. Dear diary, you know my life is pretty boring most of the time. My last 10 entries have been almost exactly the same. Woke up, checked for wolves, counted the sheep, moved the sheep, watered the sheep, counted sheep, checked for wolves, grazed the sheep, counted the sheep, looked for wolves, slept, woke up, checked for wolves, counted the sheep. I thought it was a fairly clever way to tell the story. And also, it was a handy way to keep the kids from having to memorize a bunch of lines. They could just pretend to be writing as they read the script. Each entry was an attempt to capture each character's thoughts and include historical details and a joke or two along the way to keep people interested. I passed it off to a few Sunday school teachers to run it by them and see if there was any feedback. Oh, there was feedback. One of the teachers sort of stumbled through a response. I mean, it's good. It's just, well, we have to take some things out. I must have looked puzzled because she went on quickly. Well, all this bit about Mary getting pregnant, not being married to Joseph, and then Joseph wondering who got Mary pregnant, and then talking about divorcing her. Well, you know, we just can't have that in the Christmas pageant. Right. I guess in trying to imagine what it was actually like for Mary and Joseph, I forgot to whitewash the story of Jesus' birth. I forgot to remind people how magical it is to be visited by angels, regardless of how it must have actually been terrifying, because every time they show up, the first words out of their mouth are things like, "Fear not." I forgot to remind people how cozy a stable was in ancient times, or how the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. So much more pleasant of a story that way. Sweet candlelight in a charming little barn with well-behaved animals circled around. But please, please keep out those pesky details. You know what it smelled like. All the sounds to be heard, the confusion and difficulty of it all. We just can't have that in the Christmas story. It's like the psalm from the day. Steadfast love and righteousness and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. Ah, it's a lovely vision. Could we be sure to drop all the parts where God's wrath is mentioned? Let's cut out where the psalmist wonders if God will be angry with us for forever. You heard me tell the kiddos that the Peruvian nativity with the sloth and the capybara and the tapir is one of my favorites, and it is. But another favorite is slightly less charming. It's the negativity. A creche made up of Mary and Joseph, baby Jesus, an angel, three wise men, a donkey, and a tiny little lamb, each with frowns and dark eyebrows slanted in toward each other in furrowed ferocity. Nothing like setting up the negativity to remind you that, truthfully, angry Mary had every right to be upset. Almost full term, stuck riding on a donkey through the desert. And Joseph, well, you know, that part gets left out of the Christmas pageant. And Jesus, poor baby boy, born in a barn cave. Negativity, indeed. I feel for the Sunday school teachers, I do. I mean, who wants to think about those awkward conversations about pregnancy and divorce and all the messy emotions and difficulties of the Christmas story? The thing is, it's right here in the scriptures, the wondering, the speculation, the plans to dismiss Mary quietly. And it's right here in our own lives as well. We can have this tidy worship space, this beautiful music and amazing timpani and all the things of this space. But we cannot sit here this morning without the echoes of crying mothers in Aleppo and the visions of stunned, silent, rubble-dusted children weighing on our hearts. We can imagine the snow that lay on the ground in a beautiful light dusting. But we know it comes in inches and below zero temperatures in which people will freeze to death. We can take a deep breath here in worship as we are reminded of God's love for us and give thanks. But we cannot forget that life outside these walls is still happening, with all the messiness and complicated relationships and painful injustices. And so here we are. Mary in a state of shock, Joseph trying to do what he can to shake her off without having her be stoned to death for infidelity, angels showing up in dreams trying to make some sort of sense of it all, the psalmist crying out to God, "Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations?" But in the midst of all that messiness is also deep and abiding hope. In the expression of heart-wrenching disconnect from God comes the vision of steadfast love and faithfulness coming together, of righteousness and peace kissing. In the middle of a stinky, I promise you, it was stinky, barn cave, on what was assuredly a very noisy night is the promise that God is with us. Emmanuel. Throughout this Advent, while thinking about preparing for the presence of Christ, we have been challenging ourselves to keep alert to the ways we see and experience God's hope, peace, joy, and love. We can get bogged down in the messiness, but we cannot lose sight of the good. That which we experience and that which we foster in the world. This week's challenge, in the midst of what appears to be the news and Saturday Night Live switching places, in the midst of plane crashes and bombings and friends concerned about losing their freedoms, where still do you see love? Where, how can you usher in God's kingdom of love? For this is our call as the people of God. This is our call in Advent. The Christmas story is powerful. Almighty Creator taking on the most vulnerable of states, becoming a baby so that God is with us. The Christmas story is fierce. Travel and death and governmental regulations. The Christmas story is hopeful. The reminder of God's presence among us, Emmanuel. But the Christmas story is not cozy. It is not easy. And it is not particularly charming. But when we can hold both difficulty and love at once, we can be real about how the world is while at the same time actively seeking and doing that which improves the world. This is our message of hope, peace, joy, and love. This, more than silent holy nights and the perfect holiday gatherings, this is our good news. After all, God is with us. Emmanuel. Thanks be to God. Amen.